It's Wednesday, the 1st of April, 2009. You're tuned to Truth News Radio Australia, and I'm your host, Hereward Fenton. Tonight, A Tale of Two Truth Movements, Part 2. Well, I have here tonight a panel of esteemed guests joining me by Skype. And we are going to be discussing some of the themes that we talked about in the show 2 weeks ago, where we presented you, a point of view from myself and Dan and Josh on, the sort of alternative aspects of the truth movement. And tonight I thought it would be good to get Adam Davis on the show. He's the webmaster and creator of Truth Movement Australia. And we also have Miklos Power, who's, he probably best get Miklos to introduce himself and Adam to introduce himself. John is a regular guest. He's also on the conference. And if I could just start with Adam, maybe you could just give us a brief introduction and then Miklos, and then we'll roll into the discussion. Adam, please.
Yeah, no, thank you very much for having me on the show. I really appreciate it. First of all, I wanted to say how amazing of a job you've done over the last couple of years with the website. First and foremost, I think you've done a fantastic job awakening up thousands of people, and I think that's fantastic.
Thanks.
Where do I start? Basically, I started looking into this kind of information through my father, who did show me a 9/11 documentary. I'm sure you know it, Loose Change.
Yeah.
That's where I started. I think that must have been about 3 years ago now. And at the time, I was already an international speaker. I was already on stage talking to thousands of people at a time about online marketing and how to make money online, things like that, because I'd already been doing it for the last couple of years since I'd left school. And something about that really triggered something. It made me realize that we're so indoctrinated into this system that we're in. And the more research I did after 9/11 and started to look at how my life is controlled in more ways than just the media, the more I started to realize how we really needed to wake up as a race. And obviously that's where we get this whole idea of waking people up from. So I'd consider myself awoken, as they say. I mean, I'm always waking up to new ideas and new information every single day, as I'm sure we all are. But I decided to create the website Truth Movement Australia simply because I saw a need for multiple avenues to come together as one. And what I mean by that is, and I want to talk about this today, is that there's multiple ways of seeking the truth. And there's some people that have the angle of, the scientific angle of and the 9/11 angle, and other people have woken up through, things like fluoride. They find out about fluoride truth and they think, well, if this is true, then what else is true? And, there's all sorts of different information in the New Age area as well.
There's many, many different themes of where we have to apply critical thinking.
Exactly right. It's all about discernment. It's all about critical thinking. Just different forms. And I started to realize that all of these people, if they were collected in one area, would be such a powerful force in this country and around the world that I really think that we could do some massive change. So that's why I created the website, Truth Movement Australia.
When did you actually create the site, Adam? When did it first go up?
It first went up, must have been about 4 months ago now.
Okay.
It was an idea that I had for a year before that, when I was still a professional speaker. And I gave that up, actually. I gave up my business completely. I gave it to one of my employees.
So you're now working on this more or less full time?
Yes, yeah. So I still am involved with that operation, but he runs it completely. Luckily, I have some money that I take from that from the work that I've done over the last 4 years, but he pretty much runs it himself because I wanted to focus on getting this message out there for the next couple of years. So that's what we've been doing. And in that time, the last 4 months, it's exploded. It really has. We've had, I think, over 3,500 people subscribe on the site. They're all mixed bag people. There's some people are there because of the straw man information that we know about. Some are there because of 9/11. Some are there because they found out that Facebook was run by the CIA and all sorts. So because of the way that the website's created and because it has multiple branches, we're actually finding that more and more people are coming to the site from different avenues, but ultimately they all end up with the same understanding, and that is that their life is controlled in multiple ways by different people. And we need to look at fixing that.
Okay, that's an excellent introduction. Thanks, Adam.
All right.
What I might do is just hand it over to Miklos now. Have I introduced you correctly, Miklos Power? Is that
Miklos? Yeah, it's Miklos with a SH on the end.
Oh, okay. So it's
all right. It's fine. No worries.
If you could just tell us your background, that would be great.
Yeah, sure. Well, basically, I'm talking here tonight in a fairly humble capacity, I guess. It's basically interesting to me the two sides of the story here between TMA, Truth Movement Australia, and 9/11 Oz and We Are Change Australia, and the kind of the bridging between the two aspects where you've got a group of people who are just wanting to concentrate on the facts and certain specific issues in order to, you know, get that core information out to the public and wake them up. And then you've got a whole other sort of truth movement that sprung up kind of around that, but also independently, which covers a whole range of other topics, which a lot of people wouldn't consider to be valid even, or, you know, at worst dangerous and perhaps, you know, counterproductive to what is trying to be achieved with the sort of main sort of scientific stuff.
Now, Miklos, you've told me that you're somewhat a fan of David Icke. I don't know if that's the correct way of putting it, but you find David Icke's work certainly interesting, and that's obviously part. I'm not quite sure whether you discovered the Truth Movement Australia first or the 9/11 Oz first. Which one did you actually come across first?
Yeah, no worries. Well, I've been reading David Icke's stuff for about 14 or 15 years.
Right.
So this sort of thing's interested me for a long time, and even been interested in the whole issue around vaccinations and fluoride in the water and additives in foods and all that for a lot longer before that. But I've certainly found David Icke's books to be really inspirational a lot of times. I mean, I remember the first book I read was And the Truth Shall Set You Free, which a friend gave to me, and he sort of handed it to me very timidly, and as though it may end the friendship, and said, oh, you know, have a look at this, you know, see what you think, you know, this kind of thing.
Right,
because at
the
time it certainly wasn't as accepted as it even is now. And but I read it, and I read the first chapter, and I was like, well, can't see anything wrong with that. So he has a lot of good points. I certainly don't subscribe to every single thing that he says, and like he says himself, you know, the whole point is to think for yourself.
Okay, that's I certainly couldn't deny that. Certainly thinking for oneself is extremely important.
If I need to think about anything else, then you've missed the point.
Okay. Great. Well, thanks a lot for that, Miklos. And
sure.
John, you're a regular on the show, but perhaps you could just recap where your journey, you know, and your, I guess, appreciation of truth, the truth movement beyond the 9/11 aspect of it, you know, where you stand on various things. I'll leave it up to you to talk about it.
I've sort of come from an extremely normal background, I suppose. I've been a high achiever in many areas in my life, but really coming from a place of public service to my country, a place of a long military history within my family. Also, I've had a responsible job for my whole life, and I've been in one job my whole life. Obviously, about 3 years ago, I had an awakening with Loose Change, second edition at the time. Obviously, we've got Final Cut now, which is a much neater and more exacting explanation of 9/11. But it was with that my whole perception, I suppose, you know, people use the red pill, blue pill type analogy. That's sort of what happened to me. I went into a survival mode, I suppose. So I went from thinking that everything was okay and I could trust my government. I wasn't, you know, I was obviously always quite vocal about issues that I believed in, but I believed that, you know, at the root of government was the the people and the well-being of the people was the interest of the government. And with 9/11, I've completely changed my view to realise that our government and the powers that control our government are the root of all evil. So that's sort of my journey in a nutshell. But obviously yourself and myself, 2 years ago, exactly on the day that we're having the Truth Movement Australia event in Melbourne on the 11th of April,
right.
Gerard and myself stepped out and became activists for 9/11 Truth.
Yeah, 2 years ago.
The first two people that we know of in the street with a banner, risking our reputation. And at that stage, I think we thought we were risking incarceration maybe. We were quite fearful of what might happen. We've now learned
Indeed.
That they're playing an ignorance game with us, and that's the game, is to ignore us and to discount us. And that's why I think we've become, Herod and I have become very, very focused on the hard evidence, and that's what our event later in the year is about, because we see that we have to get credibility. And the way to get credibility is with things like what Richard Gage of Architects and Engineers is doing, and we've seen the fruits of his work now, you know, approaching 1,000 licensed, qualified, registered architects and engineers questioning the official 9/11 story in a way that is irrefutable. And that's really where we're heading. And the Truth Movement, I see Truth Movement Australia, I wrote an article for 9/11 Blogger, 9/11 Truth, the Big Ten Approach, which is extremely popular within the activist movement from the point of view that people were asking the same questions that I was asking. We want to broaden and we want to become to question things about the financial system, question things about, like we've talked about, fluoride, vaccinations, other issues that we have direct scientific evidence that that puts it out there. But, you know, for me personally, things like chemtrails and some of the other more side issues and, putting the ideas that people from other galaxies might be affecting our universe, et cetera, is too far afield for me and my personal view, and I'm trying to keep that narrow focus on the physical world, and I think Herowood's got a similar view.
That's excellent. Thanks, Sean. Maybe I should just summarise, you know, my, like, where I'm at in my thinking. We on this radio show, we're trying to provide perspectives on news that, but we're also trying to adhere to kind of laws of evidence and inquiry and a professional approach to what we do. And, you know, we haven't always been that great at it. You know, we're getting better, I think. And with the website that I run, 9/11 Oz, it's been very, very focused on the 9/11 issues and the 9/11 Truth Movement, which, is necessarily, it cuts a lot of things out. You know, when you're trying to provide a case for the best evidence, you might have a whole lot of things that are quite interesting and potentially valuable, but you don't include them if you can't substantiate them. So, there's a lot of possibilities out there in terms of what might or might not have happened to bring about the events of September 11. In this movement, there's been, you know, really, and this is the thing that I think that's made it work, is there's been this focus from people who understand the difference between hearsay and speculation and things you can prove. And by doing that, you actually have a chance of getting a wedge into the mainstream kind of culture. Having said that, there is obviously a lot of aspects of our society which are mainstream, which are not logical and which are not proven and which are superstitious and ridiculous. So, we are actually trying to be more truthful and more principled than the establishment is. I mean, we have the establishment making pronouncements about things for us to believe in all the time that are not based in science at all. We, you know, climate change being the one that springs to mind. We just have this constant barrage of this dogma of climate change. But apparently there was a church service, the Archbishop of Canberra today said that the bushfires down in Victoria were caused by climate change. I mean, for one thing, he's not a scientist, he's a bishop, okay? So he can't possibly know that from a scientific perspective. And, I mean, he doesn't even know it from any other perspective other than it's like an ideology, like it's a religion. to, and the fact that an actual member of the church happened to say it in a sermon, you know, this was for to commemorate all the people who died and the firefighters and everything. See, this is a sign that our society really has fallen into magical thinking in a lot of ways, and we are fighting against that magical thinking. That's what I see Truth News doing, and that's what I see 9/11 Oz doing in relation to the 9/11 issue, which, if you follow the official story of 9/11, it's full of magical things. I mean, passports flutter out of buildings. When everything else is burned to a cinder, a passport is recovered. You know, in two cases, actually, the passport of one of the hijackers from the World Trade Center was found, and also a passport was found in the hole in Shanksville. I mean, it's like it's a biblical story, you know, and the ability of these people to pull off this incredibly complex thing just on the power of their own secret, you know, jihad. And we never find out that because they've got all the information and they're keeping it secret, you know, all the secret files that no one's ever been able to see. So we just have to trust this fairy tale story of the 19 hijackers and the box cutters. So I believe we are fighting against superstition and, you know, mystical ideas of all kinds in the mainstream. Now, when it comes to views that are non-mainstream, they again branch out into all different areas. And some of them are very, very niche and very separate from the rest of society. I mean, take, for example, Scientology. Scientology is an enormous organization. It's probably got millions of people worldwide. They have a very, you know, unconventional view of reality. You know, it works for them, but, you know, Scientology is kind of locked off. And people who aren't in it don't want to have anything to do with it. People who are in it are totally in it and can't be objective about it. There's various forms of Christianity. We've got various forms of, you know, biblical belief. We have various spiritual ideas, you know, Eastern ideas, Buddhist ideas, Hindu ideas, and New Age ideas, which I don't really know quite how to describe, other than to say there's so many of them, it's really hard to keep up. But a lot of these ideas involve concepts of extraterrestrial intelligence, you know, channeling of entities from other galaxies, possibly interdimensional organisms, or I don't know what you call it. You know, I'm thinking of the reptilians here. And then there are also groups that sort of adhere to ideas that are derived from other cultures, like the Mayan prophecies about 2012. And then that is integrated with another metaphysical scheme. And, you know, none of this is new. I mean, 100 years ago we had theosophy, which was a huge thing, which involved all different kinds of beliefs like this too. But this is like a new form of some of these phenomena that we've seen over history. Now, I don't wish to judge any of that. I don't want to say it's good or bad, but when I'm looking at the information and I see a kind of muddying of so many different ideas, I sort of think it's going to be really hard for us to get any headway with these ones that we've got pretty solid information on when it continually gets dragged into this swirl of stuff. I'll turn the discussion over to the group. Adam, maybe you'd like to kick off with some responses to that.
Absolutely. Well, as I said before, it's no secret that I was awoken by 9/11, so I'm not going to say that the 9/11 movement isn't important. In fact, it's one of the most important aspects of the truth movement, because, as you say, it has so many facts to back it up, and it has awoken up so many people from that point onwards. What I found is that 9/11 is a fantastic starting point, but in no way, shape or form should it be the end point. And what I mean by that is, from doing more research, it's very easy to see that things like the media are controlled by the same people that have caused 9/11 to happen in the first place. So what I'd like to ask is what is your end goal with things like the 9/11 truth movement as it stands, and focusing on the facts, focusing on pure, you know, academics and trying to get into the media. Do you really feel that the television is one day going to turn around and say that you're correct?
Yeah, good point. I might get John to pick up on that.
Yeah, Adam, I think you phrased that question very well, and that's a very important question. It's a question that I ask myself and most serious 9/11 truth activists ask themselves every other day or every day. I think what we're aiming at is recovering our reality, which Herewood was speaking about, to a point where the scientific method and science becomes real in the proper sense again. We're warding off a new dark age, which is descending upon us with superstition and fear, as Herewood also mentioned in his roundup. And really, we see 9/11 as the trigger event. We see it as the most powerful media event, the most powerful psychological trauma that the world has ever seen as one group. And consequently, we believe that the power of the event, if turned around, can cause a renaissance within society and allow all the issues that you're talking about and we've also agreed on to come to light. Sure. So we see it as a trigger. We see it as the key event in this time, and it's the it's a powerful path to peace, most of all.
No, that's perfectly fine. What I want to start by saying is with the Truth Movement Australia website, you'll notice that things that I put on my homepage are researched, and they can be researched and backed up. I've never once put on the homepage anything to do with anything paranormal.
Yeah, I agree with that. What you've put up, I think, been fine. It's very similar to sort of what Herewood's putting up.
Exactly. So that's how I want to get that out there in the first place. Obviously, I do let people talk about whatever they wish in the forum, and people have asked me, "Hey, I want to start talking about UFOs. Is that okay?" And because I don't see myself as knowing everything about this planet and what is happening, I would like people to do research on the UFOs for me, because I do my own research on it, and I would love other people to do the same. Am I going to start promoting that on the front page? Not until some serious facts are shown, but that's not going to stop me from allowing them to post. Now, when it comes down to, well, why would I let that happen? Well, I'm not really scared about what the media says, because in my opinion, I don't think the media is ever going to change. As the old saying goes, the revolution won't be televised. And if we look at how many people are searching for any things that are truth related, we start to really see how big this is. It goes way beyond my website, and it goes way beyond 9/11 Oz when we start to look at the numbers. And me being an internet marketer from the past, I know how to search online and find out what people are searching for. And I just want to do a quick activity with everyone really, really quickly. You don't have to do it right now, but when you've got a chance, go to Google and search for the word keyword tool, keyword being keyword, keyword tool, and just check out the keyword tool and type in some words. Now, and what you're doing there is you're actually looking at Google's database of different search terms people are searching for on a monthly basis. And you'll notice if you type in words like Zeitgeist or Alex Jones or New World Order or David Icke or Jordan Maxwell or Project Camelot, you'll start to see how many times these words get searched for on a monthly basis. And you'll see that the word Zeitgeist by itself, just the term Zeitgeist, gets searched for 550,000 times every single month. Alex Jones gets searched for 450,000 times a month. The words New World Order get searched for 460,000 times a month. David Icke gets searched for 90,000 times a month. Jordan Maxwell gets searched for 50,000 times, and the list goes on and on and on. In fact, if you probably worked out all the different terms related to the truth movement, you would find that worldwide, roughly around, I would go as far to say, roughly around 50 million searches are done on this topic every single month around the world.
That's excellent information, and that's information that I was aware of, but not in such detail. And that's exactly why what we're both doing as two groups can be extremely successful, because the people that are out there questioning and awakening and becoming interested from this info world, this that we're living on the internet, compared to the entertainment world that we're living in the mainstream media, is very, very important. And the issue is, this is sort of where it all sort of changes for us. And I know, like, talking to you, I've been very honest and direct with you with my views, yeah. And you've been the same with me, and I think that's been great. But I see the entertainment world that we live in the mainstream as contaminated the thought processes of people, even within our group, you know, that are awake.
Yeah.
And they're looking for entertaining things like Alex Jones and David Icke, et cetera, because they want some fun and some entertainment and some laughs and some titillation with what they're doing with their truth. Now, what I aim to do with what you're trying to do, and I think other people within the broader truth movement hopefully have similar ideas, is that we can pick some key issues that we can focus on to break into the academia, to break into the intellectuals, and into some selective media that is still prepared to ask some questions. Like, say, for instance, us protesting in front of the ABC numerous times. I think we did 3 protests there for many hours. Herald getting an article up about 9/11 that got record number of comments. Putting complaints into the ABC about their lack of coverage about Building 7 and 9/11, etc. Got the Third Tower, the BBC production, The Third Tower, shown, which is a propaganda yep. piece. But it still had yep. to display the facts to maintain some sort of journalistic standard. Now, that had a huge awakening within the group of people that we meet all the time that watch SBS and ABC and think they know what's going on. They have an epiphany with something like that. Then they fall out of that and they fall into the internet world, but then they see this contaminated, muddied clutter that is, you know, this broader truth movement that we're talking about, and they go back to sleep because they think it's all too hard. So what we're trying to do is we're saying we need that big group of people so that we can draw down on the smaller group of people that really want to go for the hardcore and go for the jugular of these neocon bastards that are killing millions around the world.
Yeah, and Nicholas,
killed 10 Australians on 9/11. You know, we want to go for justice, and we want to do that by using that broad support to narrow it into a hard, focused sword of truth that we can drive into the heart of this beast.
Great. Was that you trying to interject there, Nicholas?
No, that's okay, mate. I was just saying that when he was saying, you know, that it's the muddy waters of all that stuff. Well, I mean, I talked to a lot of people too, pretty much randomly, just sort of seeing what the response is on. Purely factual stuff, particularly about 9/11 or the banking system, for example. And I can tell you that a lot of people think that the whole 9/11 movement, any information on stuff that isn't the official mainstream myth, they consider that to be muddy, murky waters and, you know, that kind of thing. And they totally dismiss it. And these are educated people. You know, I've said to them, you know, well, that's fine, you know, but how does the building come down at free fall speed? And they're just not interested. So I guess what I'm really saying is I think everything you guys are doing is 100% valid, 100% good and, you know, awesome, you know, it's great. But there is a broader problem that's going on, as you've all articulated, around the point. But the central point is that this planet has a problem with its consciousness. I mean, all the acts that have been done, from the planes hitting the towers, the controlled demolition, the actions of the people in the media, and the whole global network of human beings that created this reality together, they've all done it. It's all started in their consciousness before they moved any muscles or spoke any words or did any actions. I guess beyond that, yeah, there is a problem with that, because I mean, you can show people the facts. This is just what I'm finding personally. You can show intelligent, you know, compassionate people the facts, and they'll either go not interested. They just don't see it. It's like there's a block there, a brainwashed or a hypnotized block in the mind where they're just unable to see the absolute hardcore facts. That, you know, 1, 2, 3, they just can't see it. Or there are people who do see it, they have a wake up, they go, geez, that's unbelievable, that's absolutely terrible, so it must have been an inside job. Oh, well, these things have been happening for millennia, I guess someone else will sort it out, and totally miss the point of the whole thing.
Excellent.
So I do see that beyond all of that, there is an issue with it's a consciousness issue, I guess, is one way you could put it.
Guys, I'm just going to pause for a short break and some music, and we'll come right back. Thank you. Are you getting fed up with all the disinformation, deception, spin, propaganda, half-truths and downright lies in mainstream news? Looking for something different? Visit Truth News Radio Australia, www.truthnews.com.au, and may the truth set you free. Okay, we are back with Adam, Miklosh and John, and we are discussing on Truth News Radio Australia, we are discussing the truth movement, the 9/11 truth movement and the broader truth movement. We're trying to get into the issues that divide us, the issues that possibly unite us, trying to figure out where we're going and what is real. That's what I think we're doing. Adam, you may have a different take on it. You are welcome to proceed.
Sure. Well, I agree with everything that's been said so far in regards to how important the work that you are doing is in relation to focusing on facts is fantastic with the 9/11 stuff. But what Mick said was important as well, and that is that sometimes you can show people all the facts in the world, it doesn't mean they're going to wake up. And the reason for that is because people are motivated by different things and people are at different levels of consciousness. What I decided to do, right or wrong, again, I am learning at all times, is I decided to make the TMA a broader website because I wanted to bring people together. And I want to bring people together because what I believe is that there's more people that are willing to take action when they see a large group than they will from just merely facts themselves. In fact, what we've found simply from the media is you don't have to have any facts whatsoever. All you need to have is the majority saying this is the way things are and things will start to change. So if we look at things like David Icke, who I don't believe is 100% right in everything he says, but I don't believe anyone's 100% right with anything they say. If we look at things like Zeitgeist or Alex Jones, if you look at these people, none of them have 100% all the right facts, all the right information. You can pick flaws in every single one of them. You can say all of them are rubbish or all of them have some credible information. But one thing they all absolutely have is influence. You cannot disagree that they do not have influence behind them to say this is the way to go and people will move. And they have that because people have come together and have united and understand that there is something going on that they need to fix. And what we're starting to find now is more and more people are waking up because of that. Now, it's not.
Can I just pause there for a second? I was wondering if John, if you could just pick up on the two points there that that Adam made about David Icke. You know, not 100% perfect, but you know, nobody's 100% perfect. Zeitgeist again. You know, not perfect, but you know, but we think that they're. Well, Adam says that he thinks that they are worthy or worthwhile.
I'm saying they have influence. I'm not saying they're right.
I'll just briefly comment because I think what some of the things Adam was saying was very pertinent and very important about influence with these particular people. But there are, in my opinion and in many other opinions, say, for instance, people at the Journal of 9/11 Studies, say, you know, people like Frank Legg or people like Stephen Jones, all these people, yeah, they all might have a flaw. Say, for instance, you know, Stephen Jones is a religious man. That might appear to be a flaw. For some people would see that as a flaw in him. But he doesn't bring that into his work. And when he does work, and people like Stephen Jones and Richard Gage, etc., occasionally make mistakes, but because they're working within the scientific method and they're allowing a continuous peer review, just like you said, Adam, you're continually learning. And I know that in our discussions we've learned things from each other, and that's exactly where we should be moving. They present something that is highly credible because it's constantly being critical. And that's the difference. Now, with someone like Alex Jones, who's has done an absolute excellent job, he has been less than critical at times because he needs to make a living and he needs to maintain his popularity. And sometimes you have to compromise certain things and go with stories when you're not fully, you know, educated about the issues. And he has done that at times. But and David Icke, you know, has a different spiritual point of view that some people would find extremely strange, but others would see it no more strange than someone believing in Christian God, say, for instance. So, I mean, you have all these people that we've talked about, but there definitely is a deeper truth or something that is much more credible at the scientific level when it follows the scientific method and it comes under the peer review process,
it's
heavily criticised. So there is a fine line there, but I'll let you carry on, Adam.
Sure, I'm not denying that that's not true. In fact, if you show me speakers that people want to see, I will promote them hell or high water. I'll promote them if what I feel that they have the right influence to help the truth movement, we'll put them on. There's no issue with that. What I'm saying is these people have influence. Good. I'm not saying it's right or wrong, but they do have people that are willing to listen to them. Now, at the core of all of these people, whether it's Venus Project or whatever they're talking about, the center, the core issue that everything, what the truth movement is all about, if we're going to turn it into a very, very brief summary, it would simply be that there are people in control of what's happening in our system that are denying us truth and the right to look at all information and decide for ourselves. Now, people find that in different ways, and this is what I want to get onto, is people have different personalities. People have different personalities, and they look at things different ways. Some people need complete logic. Just the academics, the peer review, people need that. Others don't learn that way. In fact, they learn from entertainment. As you said, some people learn from entertainment, and that's why they'll go towards people like David Icke, because he's entertaining to listen to. At the same time, he does talk about things that are true,
Can I just break in just for a split second on that thought, because I think you're sure. Following another very interesting train of thought. Sure. Now, those people that are the ones that are motivated a little bit by entertainment, or they might come to an epiphany through someone presenting something that's a bit off the beaten track, like maybe, right. Someone might do if they're on LSD or whatever, they might have an epiphany and have a new way of thinking. That's great, and that can lead people on to discovering a whole lot of things. But are those sort of people the sort of people that can drive, this world to adjust and a fair outcome for the people on this planet?
Well, can I just point...
Are they the sort of people that can do that, or are they the sort of people that will always just be interested watching?
If you look at the people that have inspired the world, you'll actually find that a lot of them are quite simple people. They don't have to be brainiacs or anything like that. They can simply be people that can inspire others. Now, I'm not saying that that's right or wrong. I'm just saying from what I've seen from the past, if we look at people like John Lennon, who, like him or love him, he didn't seem like that smart of a guy, but you know what? He got people to at least listen and got people to at least think about peace for a while. Now, I'm not saying that's right or wrong, but we can easily debate whether the academic method is 100% needed for everything. Now,
well,
I'm not
I think
saying
that's an excellent analogy, and I think that's a very valid point.
Well, but it's an analogy that I don't necessarily agree with, because I think that it's not a question of whether, okay, from my point of view, the question of whether a person is academic in their approach or not is actually irrelevant. That's got nothing to do with what is important to me. There's several things that are important factors. One being integrity. That's very important. Truthfulness within oneself. Okay, that there's a kind of a purity of it's kind of a soul quality that is vitally important to inspire people.
Integrity is important, and I'd agree with that. Would you say that some speakers who you wouldn't necessarily agree with, let's say, just pick a point out of the hat, let's say David Icke, for example, would you say that because he believes, let's say he does believe the reptilian agenda and he does believe it to be true, does that mean that he loses his integrity, or is his integrity still intact?
I have yet to be convinced that David Icke is not essentially a very clever marketing...
I'm using David Icke as an example here.
The point is, like, from what I've seen of, and I haven't like read his books in detail, but I've watched a lot of video material of him and, absorbed as much as I can about him in the time I've got. And what I see is someone who I'm not yet convinced that he is. I think he believes he's genuine, but I think a lot of marketing confidence people, confidence tricksters believe that they are real too. I think there is a lot of self-delusion that goes with a lot of people who build themselves up into a cult following. And, of course, he himself believes in his own mind that everything he does is genuine. But what I see in the way David Icke operates is it's very much focused on him as a person. I don't see it inspiring a movement for social change. I see it as just people basically getting distracted and entertained in ways that are completely disabling them from ever doing anything constructive. And I'm actually really critical about David Icke. You know, as much as I'm open to all this discussion, I'm not going to sit here and say, oh, hey, David Icke's cool. You know, we're all cool, and you know, let's just leave it. And because I you know, the whole thing that drives me is that I've been critical of many things. When I see something that doesn't add up, you know, that's why we're doing the show, and that's why I've got 9/11 Oz. It's about red flags when things don't look right. And I'm still on the fence though. I'm not totally convinced one way or the other, but I'm certainly not convinced that he's genuine.
That you've made very valid points with that. And what I guess all I'm trying to say.
Can I just say fully, like, what Harewood says is the other side of the argument, and it's very well said. Sure. And this is what we're trying to decide. At the end of the day, we want to see change in this world, and I want my children to, you know, live in a world that has presents a reality to them that, you know, is based on logic and fact, and so that they can move on, and the challenges we have as the human race on this planet in the future can be addressed in a proper way by future societies. And at the moment, we don't have that. So that's what drives Harewood and I and many, many others, including yourself, is that we want to see change. Now, this is the crux of the whole thing. Are the people that are driven by entertainment and exciting thought and alien theories and other things that might be based in some fact, and I can see that there is facts about all those sort of things that you could see as facts, are those people that are driven by the entertainment primarily, are they going to turn into a social movement that can actually make change?
Well, one thing I want to say is I think the terms of entertainment can be a derogatory term when it comes to this. I mean, if people want to look at things like the consciousness shift, things like the New Age movement, I mean, a lot of those things aren't entertainment. A lot of what they say, I believe, is absolutely true. I think the consciousness is changing, whether we like it or not. If you just look at the numbers, look at how many people are searching for this kind of information now on the internet. I mean, the consciousness is happening, whether we like it or not. Whether we had this radio talk or not, this movement is happening bigger. Every single day it gets bigger and bigger and bigger. We're not going to be able to stop what happens either way it goes down. One thing I did want to say when it comes to things like David Icke and what Harewood said, when it comes to change and if these people see this as entertainment or not, I can honestly say in my own life from listening to David and what he talks about when it comes to things like infinite love and things of that nature, I have taken it upon myself to look at changing me, and now I'm in the process of looking at the straw man information, looking at things about what have I been eating. I mean, I used to eat crap food, excuse my French, but now I'm eating so healthy and I feel better for it. These things come when you start to realize that the only thing that you can really change in the world isn't other people's opinions. You have to change yourself first. And once you've changed yourself, that's when people really start to get the message and they'll change as well. So I think just looking at the facts by themselves isn't enough. I think you also have to change yourself personally and become a better human being, and people will follow soon.
Yeah, totally agree with you on the last point there, Adam. Miklos.
Yeah, just on David Icke, I mean, I don't think that the guy needs any defending or anything like that. But just factually as well, I think perhaps Harewood, part of your opinion does come from not looking at his material enough, just from the sounds of it and from talking to you. And I think
let's just clarify a couple of points, because you've done maybe more study than I have, and you can at least enlighten me on a couple of points. Does he or does he not, in one of his books, claim that Prince Charles feasts on the blood of babies? I mean, let's just get down to some of these points that are claimed that are in his books.
I haven't read that whole book. That's the biggest secret. But yeah, I believe he does.
Well, I mean, to be honest with you, I don't feel like I really need to get into a lot of detail of reading about the specifics of that. You know, if he's making these of claims, I just...
You're talking about a 2% of the whole of his work.
And that can be 1%.
Okay, I didn't say that I subscribe to that. You know, I mean, that's the, you know, to blanket the whole thing like that is a bit dismissive. You know what I mean? Look, if you, as I say, if you go back and read his material, and you know, particularly From Man, the Truth Shall Set You Free, those earlier books before he got into that other stuff as well, although a lot of his works out really good as well, you'll get a better sense of the man. The other thing with him as well, he's been doing it for a really long time. He underwent scathing ridicule. I've talked to people that knew his family over there, and what they went through was very real.
But I would say, Miklos, that he underwent scathing ridicule because he was saying utterly ridiculous things. I mean, I've seen the TV show where he's quite young in that one, and he's saying that there's he's talking about volcanic eruptions, and it just all sounds ridiculous. Like it sounds mad. And of course he's going to get, you know, ridiculed for talking like that. Yeah. I mean, I would if I went around saying I was the Messiah and there were going to be volcanic eruptions, people would laugh at me too, and quite rightly.
He talks about that as well here, Will, and he also says that he was going through changes at that point. And again, I'm not here to say David Icke is 100% correct. I don't need to defend the guy, but he has blatantly said that at the time he was naive for going on that show and saying those things. And if you do look at what he says these days, he has steered away from the reptilian information.
But he still sells the books at his speeches, at his lectures.
Well, in regards to selling his books,
he predicted, he's been saying that they were going to bring in this new world order, one world government, microchip population, centralized currency, centralized world army since like 1992 or something like that.
Yeah, but science fiction writers have been saying that since the turn of the 19th century.
Again, this isn't about whether David Icke was right or wrong. Actually, if you actually look at it, there's multiple ways to reach the same conclusion. Some people are going to find that the factual evidence spurs them on to reach the same conclusion that people will get from listening to David Icke or Alex Jones or anyone. It all comes back to the same point. And I think that point is this, that we have to look at changing ourselves and who we are governed by before we can anything else can happen. And if we take complete responsibility for that in our own lives and take action in ourselves and actually get out there and do something, whatever that may be, it's going to make change. It doesn't matter whether you believe that reptilians run the planet or you think that some other alien entity runs the planet or a different religion runs the planet. At the end of the day, we all agree that we are being governed by something and that needs to change.
Yeah.
Okay.
There's one question we haven't answered. Now, if I could just sort of take control here for a split second,
go ahead, John. Go ahead.
The occasional co-host, can we have a brief answer to the question? Are the people that believe David Icke holistically, and including the reptilian thing and the other things that he said that we know are fictional, or they appear fictional to the logical person, are the people that the cultists or the people that follow? I know a lot of Alex Jones fans that are cult-like with their wanting to listen to him, say, for instance, but they don't do anything. They just sit at home and listen to Alex Jones for 3 or 4 hours. Are these people that from the popular side? Now, I've got my point of view that I want to tap into that popular side to draw the people that can become activists, and that's where I'm at with this whole thing, Adam. You know that. And but can those people, the people that are there for those the reasons of just being absorbed in this material, are they going to make change? Are those people going to make change, or are they having just an internal change? But can they take that to the masses? Can we answer that question?
I think internal change is where it all starts, either way. In regards to activists, something can be said either way. There is always going to be some percentage of people that take action and some that don't. I didn't come from the factual, the 9/11 side. As you know, I didn't even know about 9/11 or Truth Action before I made my website or I went out to an internet censorship protest or anything. Some people are going to take action, some are not. And it doesn't really matter whether they came from whatever source, as long as they are taking action, that's what matters. Can I really answer your question of who's taking action and who's not? Well, I can't really, because I haven't interviewed enough people to know which side is taking more action. I wouldn't know.
Fair enough.
I mean, would you know?
That's something you could research, because your powers of research are proven.
I'm more than happy to look at that, and I'm more willing to even survey the list that I have on my website, if you would do the same, to see who's willing to take a stand. But that's the best that I can come up with as an answer for that.
I've just got a question for Adam in regard to your to the layout of your site on the forum. You've got a variety of subject areas. Now, you've obviously put a lot of thought into choosing those categories, but you don't have one for 9/11.
I don't have one for 9/11.
You don't have a like a forum category for discussing 9/11. I'm curious to know, for example, why that is the case.
Sure. Well, I believe that 9/11 is a part of another part of my forum, which is called Government Control and Deception.
Okay.
That's where you find a lot of the 9/11 information is stored in that area. Again, the forum is constantly changing. We recently took the UFO information off the forum and placed it into another area of the forum because things are always changing.
Right.
I listen to other people, and if someone said to me, we want an area dedicated to 9/11 because that's what we want to talk about, then that's what I'd do. I'm very, very open on the site, and I'll listen to other people's ideas.
You see, like the name of your site, Truth Movement, sounds like it's inspired by because that phrase was first, as far as I know, coined as the 9/11 Truth Movement.
So you've
kind of taken, you've stripped 9/11 off it and just calling it the Truth Movement. But like, was that intentional? Like, had you come across the 9/11 Truth Movement in your research, you know, a year ago? And then did you then say, okay, well, let's start a truth movement here, but we'll make it more than the 9/11 Truth Movement? Is that how it came about?
I wish I could say that that's how it happened, but it actually wasn't. They came up with the idea of Truth Movement without actually seeing 9/11 Truth Movement. I mean, I probably had seen it previously, but it wasn't my idea for creating the website at all.
Right.
My thoughts about truth is that people are always looking for truth, right? You're either a truth seeker or you're not. You either understand that there's things outside of your everyday life that are governing yourself, or you don't. And those people that are willing to look at that, whether they're in the process of looking at fluoride or they're looking at 9/11, at the end of the day, if they have that spark inside them, that idea of that discernment that they have that was a God-given right to them, they can choose to use it or not. Those people that are willing to use that level of discernment are the people that should be involved with the truth movement and starting to look at this information. Right now, you see UFOs as completely corny. But if an alien invasion happens tomorrow, then we know it's fact.
I only see the UFO stuff that I've seen. Sure. I mean, I only talk about what I've seen when I say it's rubbish. And I've just seen recently, I just looked at three different videos of talking heads of people who claim to be some government operative. It's just rubbish. I mean, because they might be telling the truth, but there's no way of confirming anything they've said. And, you know, they go on and on about all of this incredible, you know, story. It's like a story. Like, it's like a children's bedtime story. That's the way it seems to me.
There's 3 million Americans that believe they've been, met or abducted by aliens.
Well, yeah, I mean, and I'm not saying that they're all lying. I'm not saying that those people who have those claims are lying. I'm just saying that what I've seen with these talking heads on YouTube, it looks to me as if these people are scammers. It looks like these are people who've got psychological problems, pathological liars, and the world is full of these kind of people. It's very easy to get someone in front of a camera talking a load of nonsense. And
we've had them drop into the 9/11 genre. Sorry, I just want to, on that chain of thought, it's very important that we've had some people from the UFO genre drop into the 9/11 truth movement, and they've brought a whole lot of problems. They've gone for the craziest theories on the demolition of the towers. They've gone for the most speculative, exciting, exotic theories for nearly everything to do with the movement. And every time we've seen one of them drop into the movement, it's caused massive damage to our credibility. So that's probably, that's maybe where some of this, but I have seen some things, say for instance, you know, some of the stuff that we've got from NASA, very difficult to explain. And obviously the original term unidentified flying object. You know, some of the things that the Americans and other of the bigger countries in the world have at their disposal within their aviation armory, we don't know about, and they're unidentified by the common person. So obviously, you know, it's a very, very complex and deep issue, and I know for a fact that someone extremely high up in the 9/11 Truth Movement, highly regarded, is very interested in unidentified flying objects as per se, but not necessarily in the to do with aliens, but to do with what's flying around in the air that we don't know about.
Yeah, I totally agree. Again, I'm not trying to say that I believe in UFOs myself. In fact, I don't. I don't believe that aliens visited this planet. That's from my own research and from my understandings of the world. But what's important is that I'm willing to look at things otherwise, and I'll never claim anything is rubbish. Because as soon as I say that something is rubbish, I'm absolutely negating an entire area of my life that I could look into to see if there are facts. And the only way that I'm going to find those facts is if I'm willing to look at it in the first place. And that's what I think is what the Truth Movement is all about, is having an open mind. If you have an open mind and you're willing to look at everyone's opinion, you will find the truth. You'll find your way to the truth. But as soon as we start to negate people's opinions is when we start to fall flat on our face.
There's only about 20 waking hours in the day, and you know, when you're fighting a campaign as critical as what we're doing at the moment, when we're seeing what's happening in the world, we're moving into a new dark age. You know, we have to concentrate on the things that are the most valid, and you've agreed with that point too, Adam.
Of course. Like I said, your level of discernment is the most important thing. I'm not saying, you know, obviously everyone has the right to discernment and their opinion. So if you think something's rubbish, then you can do so. My only thought about that is to have an open mind and not to call that person a crackpot until you've at least started to look into what they're saying. If you've done the research and you want to say that they're talking rubbish afterwards, by all means do so. But I think that if we start to negate things before looking at them is when it gets dangerous.
Well, I think that the problem here is that a lot of people who make claims, which are quite, you know, bizarre and outrageous ideas, a lot of these people...
In your opinion?
Well, when I say outrageous, I don't necessarily mean it's wrong. See, you can be outrageous and be right. Okay.
Okay, fair enough, yeah.
So, I mean, the 9/11 Truth Movement has an outrageous point of view too, but we just happen to think we're right, okay?
No, that's fair enough,
But a lot of these people seem to have an inability to distinguish between fantasy and fantasy and evidence. That they actually seem to merge. And I was watching some of these UFO guys on a couple of these YouTube videos, and I can see, you know, watching them, they're kind of going in and out of fantasy kind of thinking, but wanting you to believe it all as if it were objective fact. You know, the guy who went said he was 17 years old and he was designing rockets, and the U.S. military invited him to their secret installation, and they went down 50 floors in one of these secret elevators, and then he's 17, right? And he's been designing rockets, and they've contacted him out of the blue, and they've taken him down, and they showed him this alien spaceship, and it's like he put his hand on it, and he could feel like it was throbbing, and it was like alive, and he could tell it was like it wasn't just a machine, it was a living machine, and it's like, but he's going into this fantasy world about something, right? But he's sitting there presenting to you that you're supposed to believe him factually, but you've got no way of following it up. They don't give you any way. You just and see that is deceptive and dishonest from the very point of view of not allowing you to make any you can't follow it up. You can't evaluate.
Probably it's paid for distraction.
Well, that's what a lot of people have thought, maybe that some of this is deliberate smokescreen stuff so they can taint anything. You know, there is a theory that says, you know, UFOs were invented as a psyop. I don't even know. And I'm not even going to go down that path trying to speculate on that, because I know that there's a lot of people who just do enjoy the attention they get from telling tall stories. And see, but there is a difference, and this brings me back to David Icke, because I see what is in a lot of David Icke stuff is also the telling of tall stories. And I've seen a couple of videos where he's talking about the reptiles, and, you know, again, he's like, he's really pitching it as something factual, but it's like he's relating some story that someone's told him. that he saw some guy shape shift in front of his eyes. And but like it's all very it's a blurring of reality into fantasy. And you know that to me, if you go down that path, you're not going to get very far. Other than, you know, you can create a following. You can have lectures that get thousands of people to turn up. You can write books, then people will buy the books. But, you know, it's not what Galileo did. Galileo didn't rely on fantasy. You know, Isaac Newton didn't rely on fantasy, even though, you know, Isaac Newton was very religious. you know what I mean? Like, you're not going to get – I don't think these things are going to go into history. I think the stuff that's all full of these speculations and fantasies will be forgotten. Other things will live on.
And that's your opinion, and I appreciate that. It just comes down to looking at, I mean, whether we like it or not, there are people who are looking at this information, and it really comes down to what is the end goal? What do we want the end goal to be with the 9/11 truth movement? What is the end goal? Because if the end goal is understanding, from my understanding of the 9/11 truth movement, it is to understand that you've been lied to, and it's to look at finding out the truth and then understanding who is behind those attacks and then taking them out of power. That's my understanding of it. I could be wrong.
I think that's pretty accurate. I wouldn't disagree with that.
I agree with that summary.
So, I mean, obviously I'm summarizing here. But if that is the core message, then it doesn't really – in my opinion, whether they come through David Icke to get to that conclusion, or they come through Michael Tesserian or David Wilcock or Jordan Maxwell or Alex Jones or Peter Joseph or any of these people, as long as they end up in that conclusion, then I would count them as someone that is part of the movement. And because of that, we can count on them when it comes to removing these people from power. And we need to focus on that influence, because there are these influences that are out there. And again, whether we like it or not, David Icke has 1,500 people that he's going to be speaking to. And that is a fantastic opportunity to show these people the 9/11 information and to see if they're willing to take action on this information. Same with Peter Joseph when he comes out. We need to use this influence, good or bad, whether they're 100% right or not, we need to use that influence to show people the facts and to make them take action.
The latest I've heard from Peter Joseph is that he's moved away from 9/11. The 9/11, theories.
I actually spoke to him on Skype a week ago about that. I confronted him about that and said, I noticed in the latest article from New York Times that you're moving away. He actually stated, he said, I didn't actually say that to her. What I said was that in my latest movie, I've moved away from it to focus on a solution.
Right.
But I never actually said that I was moving away, but they decided to angle it that way for the article.
Right, yeah, okay, so, that makes sense. Yeah.
Can I just say something briefly, Adam? What you just said was marvellous, and you know that I'm thinking the same way, and I'm really very, very grateful of the opportunity to be able to disseminate our hard evidence and to talk about our event at your event, and thank you very much for that opportunity.
No, it's not a problem. Again, me personally, I don't see a segregation between what we're doing at all. I think there's two different ways to skin a cat, and I think that both of them are equally as important as each other, and both of them are going to exist whether we like them or not. So it's about helping each other to get to the same end goal.
Sure, and look, you know, I see it as my job to be hard.
your role is very, very important, as is mine, as is John's, and so is Miklos. And everyone else out there.
And I also like see it as my job to sometimes call things rubbish, when I've decided, when I've been confronted with something that's got that look of being, you know, the dodgy meter's going up really high, I feel honor bound to say so. That's not to say I'm right. I could be wrong. I'm often wrong. You know, I've been wrong in the past. But when I call out on the dodgy meter, I don't do it lightly. You know, and there's a lot of times when I've held back because I wasn't sure, you know. And, you know, all I'm saying with Mr. Icke is that I'm yet to be convinced. You know, that doesn't mean I've thrown him in the you know, impossible basket. Like, you know, I'm not just writing him off. But at the same time, I'm not convinced of his sincerity on one level. That is the way I feel about it. I've had people try to convince me of a variety of different things. For example, I've had people come up to me with Holocaust revisionist material, and they've given me DVDs, and I've taken the time to try and actually watch some of this to understand where they're coming from, because they seem very sincere, some of these people, right? And they think it's very important. But I've watched the DVDs they gave me, and I can say to you what they gave me was rubbish, okay? And I will say it, because if it wasn't, I have to be able to have a scale, you know, from good to bad. You know, it's a rating, if you like. And when I say it's rubbish, I mean it's a very low rating. What I mean is, like, it has very poor... It doesn't show good journalistic skills. It doesn't use verifiable evidence. It's not reproducible, you know. And this is the fact of some of this Holocaust revisionist stuff. It is rubbish, and so I have to call it out. And that's why we don't. That's actually one of the main reasons why it doesn't get a viewing on 9/11 Oz. Not because I think the topic is terrible and shouldn't be allowed. It's because everything anyone has ever offered hasn't really stood up to my level of critical analysis. I don't know what you think about that, John, but that's my position on it to this point. I've yet to see something
I'm looking at that from another angle. Like, I look at it from the basis of the propaganda that we've seen used by certain elements of society with the Holocaust and the coining of whole terms, you know, and the abuse and the use of the ideas of what happened. And you know, I think that needs to be questioned, and that's where we should start. The problem is it's such a long time ago, and the evidence is so blurry, and a lot of the material that has been produced wasn't convincing. But there are people out there that have made very good arguments, people like David Irving, say, for instance, or Christopher Bolin, that have made, you know, they've made mistakes, but too, and they've been called on those. And, you know,
I haven't actually...
an area that we need to question the motives of why it keeps getting brought up rather than questioning the events directly, maybe.
I haven't actually read David Irving. I think that's probably, you know, there's probably some stuff in there that's quite worthy. I'm actually talking about some of the stuff that's actually been offered to me to look at.
Yeah, some of the video stuff's been very poor quality, but you know, there's so little support for the issue that, you know, it's very, very difficult to produce something, I suppose, of high quality. But I personally don't see the validity in going there. All I say is that I question all of history, and I don't believe anything that governments in power, especially the ones that have just won the war, say. So, you know, that's really my perspective on it.
But again, if someone offered you something that was really startling and had really, you know, convinced you, you wouldn't say, oh, we won't talk about it because it's not, you know, it's not good to talk about it because it might hurt our reputation. You wouldn't take that point of view.
There's certain aspects of, say, Auschwitz, say, for instance, and some of the other things that I'm prepared to talk about with people, and I do talk about it with people.
Yeah.
And, you know, the official stories have been revised from the original figures on those sort of things. So history itself is revisionist on the Holocaust. So, you know, like, yeah, it's one of those things that but it's so long ago, and we didn't have the AIDS that we have now. The reason that 9/11 has been so successful, the reason that the truth movement as such and the 9/11 truth movement predominantly has been so successful, is the internet first and foremost, and the access of it by people in all walks of life all around the world. The other thing, obviously, is the production of video, you know, being people being able to do it in their home. People like the Loose Change Crew, obviously producing something that was quite high quality, even though they did it with extremely low resources. Then the ability of us to be able to pass those DVDs out at a very, very low cost.
Well, see, I actually think that is a testament to the quality of the information, because I think where you've got people who are devoted to a cause, who have good information, who are honest, you do get, in the end, good results. You get something that you are going to watch and you are going to be convinced by. But where you have other causes...
But we didn't have video cameras back in 1945, did we?
No, but I sort of disagree with that as a reason for why we don't have, say, you know, a good documentary questioning the Holocaust. If people were really concerned about this on a genuine level, and there were so many of them, they would have put together a really good documentary on it by now. That would be convincing to me. That's all I'm asking. I'm saying, like, if you are genuine in your cause, let's not get hung up on the Holocaust here. I'm only using
because the logic. I know what you're saying. The logic doesn't run out in those productions. That's right. It doesn't come to a conclusion that's easy to make sense of. And yeah, you're right there, Harold. I was talking about another aspect about the fact that the AIDS that we had during the 9/11 era were much better, and that's they're two completely different issues. And,
sure, but we see the same problem with chemtrails. And we see I've never, like, I've watched a couple of these documentaries on it. I've watched the one that was made by Clifford Carnicom. And it just, like, it was just totally unconvincing, you know? And it was full of really emotional, manipulative stuff designed to, you know, I would say it was emotionally manipulative, but it didn't get to grips with questions that you want answered.
Could I just talk about chemtrails real briefly?
Yeah,
I can take it through a very quick analysis just of what I see in the workplace. I'm working at Canberra Airport at the moment. Now, we had a very still, warm day that was the perfect for cloud formation due to condensation trails from aircraft. I fuel the aircraft with fuel that has to go through high-quality turbine engines that are making record times on wings. We had an aircraft engine that lasted 42,000 hours just recently. Now, that fuel that's going into those engines has to be perfect, or it causes all sorts of trouble inside the engine. I'm fueling these aircraft. I'm departing these aircraft. I'm talking to the crews. They're taking off. They're causing chemtrails, and I'm watching, and they're staying in the air for hours because it's a completely still day, and it's the right conditions for condensation trails. Now, I know that people have become paranoid. There was chemtrails, maybe 10, 15 chemtrails in the one area above the sky, and I wasn't poisoned, and it's not real. But then on the other hand, we know for a fact that, you know, they do spray populations and they have done that, blah, blah, blah. But most of the stuff we see is just condensation, and that's the simple facts. And a lot of people are getting extremely paranoid over this issue, and it's a complete waste of time. Unless they can really get the evidence from when the stuff goes into the plane, it takes off. We saw those photos of these ballast tanks that are used in aircraft testing, people saying they were spray tanks. That was rubbish. We've seen numerous other rubbish things come out. We've seen the people that are putting forward the chemtrail articles being proved to be flawed in numerous ways. So, you know, that's why we've moved on at the moment, but I'm still open to look at any new information.
Excellent. I think that was a good summary. Anything you'd like to say to that, Adam?
Well, I'm not going to debate chemtrails or the Holocaust. I personally haven't done enough research on either to have any really formal opinion on it. I think you can have your say with that. That's perfectly fine. I think that the most important thing that we need to focus on here is that people are taking action in their lives, and no matter where they get their information from, as long as they're taking those actions, I think that's what's important. And those actions are the most important ones being that they need to start working on their own lives and starting to step away from these methods of control that these people use. 9/11 is a great way to get started, to start realizing that these control mechanisms are in place. But after that, you need to start focusing on, you know, things like switching off your TV, things like growing your own food, because that's going to be important very, very soon, especially with what's coming up. Getting ready now and taking action is the most important thing that you need to focus on. And that's only going to come from doing more research after 9/11.
Thanks, sir.
And being highly critical of bullshit when we see it. Sorry.
Thanks for that, John. Miklos, have you got anything you'd like to say?
Definitely. It's, you know, a lot of people do get paranoid, and I'm kind of, you know, not too sure about the importance of chemtrails, I mean, and all that as well. And, you know, with the Holocaust thing, I mean, again, that's something I haven't looked at much either, but, you know, definitely they could have fudged the figures either way there. Who knows? But I think the most important thing about it is the right to question. We've got to be able to have the right to question these things, even amongst ourselves. So, you know, if someone says it's rubbish, still got to allow people to question it and say, like, well, look, I'm not sure about this. What about this? Look at this, look at that.
Asking questions a crime, which is what they've done in Europe, in Austria and a few other countries there, that's an outrage, you know. But that's
outrageous, yeah.
That's, you know, that's in their law. You know, you can go to prison.
I think that answers why the forum the way it is on my forum as well here. It is because some of the things I don't agree with, but I out of respect for others who are questioning different things like chemtrails and like UFOs, I allow them to post that information to see what replies they get. Whether it's right or wrong, I'm not sure. I'm not 100% convinced either way, but I respect their right to say that information, and I'll let it stay.
Okay, great. That's excellent. And
just one more point, if I could make, just going back to David Icke, just very quickly. Of all the people that I've talked to, the odd chance that I've had to talk to people who were really sort of, I've talked to one guy who was very high up in Australian intelligence and various things after World War II, and also a couple of other people high up in the very high up in the financial systems. And they both surprisingly, when I brought up David Icahn, sort of said, "Oh, you know, what do you reckon of this guy?" They're like, "Oh, you read that? He's fantastic. He's spot on." So it's just interesting to me that
that red flag waving heroin.
Yeah.
Right. Right.
Very
no,
high
but
up.
Seriously,
in media. David Icahn. Yeah, so red flag. Sorry.
Well, I can't. Yeah,
yeah,
I mean,
I
can't
mean
question
to do that at all. All I'm saying is that it's just interesting to me that the people who I've met that I've been fortunate and lucky to meet that I would consider might have most direct first-hand experience about any of these sorts of things, they all seem to think that for the most part it's spot on, and in a couple of cases including the whole reptilian side of stuff. So and these are people who are very very high up in, you know, financial and other systems, as I mentioned. I mean, yeah.
Well, would you be prepared to share more of that with us?
Sorry, would I be prepared to share more?
I mean, we could do a whole show on this if we had, you know, if these sources would, you know, divulge more, and you know.
Well,
I mean,
I think
I wouldn't write it off. But as it is, we can't really. There's nothing we can do with it. It's just a, you know, it's hearsay, you know.
And that, I mean, that could be that David Icke is a shill and these people know he is and they're pushing an agenda. You can never know either way which way these people are, you know, focused. They could be in on what's happening and be saying that David Icke is right. But the most important thing is that we need to push the idea that people need to start questioning for themselves. That has to be the number one thing is people are out there at least questioning what's being said on the media. And if people can start questioning what is being said on that television screen every single night, we'll get somewhere.
Okay, I can agree with that.
Are we getting to the wrap-up stage now, Harold?
We are, yeah. We need to wind up.
Okay,
yeah.
Well, I think I've sort of come to a sort of conclusion myself with this discussion, which I've really enjoyed. I think it's been very helpful, and I hope a lot of people listen to it. At the end of the day, obviously, we're looking at two things. We're looking at presenting information that will empower people that can make change, the people that are able to make change within society, the people that have the abilities, the skills, the education and the knowledge, and the people that the mass population that we need to awake to give support to those people. So there are the two lots of people we want to wake up. Now, obviously, I think we've come to an agreement that we need to keep a hard, sharp edge with 9/11 truth, and Adam said that he doesn't want to see any garbage about 9/11 coming onto his site, and he's taking advice from people like myself and other people within the movement that are aware of what's good and what's not, and that's excellent. Thank you very much for taking that point of view, Adam. You know, he's trying to broaden the approach, get the masses awakened, and using a populist approach, and good luck to you, Adam. That's my point of view.
Great. Look, I think on that note, I think we're really out of time. It's been.
I just say one last thing. I just want to thank you guys for having me on the show. First of all,
thank you.
And for you guys to know that what you're doing is so important, focusing on there, because someone needs to do it. Someone needs to focus on those facts and that level of information, and focus on the academics. And you're the guys that do it. And that I respect you for that, and I thank you for having that role.
Great. I really appreciate that. Thank you, Adam.
I second that. Thank you, yeah.
Yeah, no, you've all done really well tonight. Hopefully we'll have this up online we'll try to get it up online tonight. So thanks for joining us, and thanks to all the listeners out there. Don't know how many of you there are, but I know a few people are listening, so I hope this has been of some benefit, and we'll be getting back to our standard kind of news style next week. We've got a bunch of people to interview, and got some really interesting things coming up. So on that note, I'll bid you a very good night, and we'll be seeing you soon.